One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Hillbilly Horror Stories presents Classic Listener Stories.
Hey guys, we're back with the March 2020 Listener Stories episode, and tonight we are loaded down with phone calls. So we're going to hear from Emily, we're going to hear from James, Kelly, and Alex Wilkinson and Chris Goskowski from PKC, which is Paranormal Kicks Cancer.
But I have to make a correction.
Yes.
It's 2021.
Oh.
Yeah, you said 2020. So it is. 20.
So it is.
But that's okay.
Yeah. My bad.
That's okay, babe.
I only got 12 chances to make that mistake this year. So, look, we could babble all night long, but we've got like an hour worth of listener stories.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just jump in with it. And we're going to start with Emily.
All right.
Hey, guys, we've got Emily on the phone. And well, I guess technically we got Emily on the computer and on video. So we can everybody can kind of see who we're talking to. This is the first listener story that we've ever done on video. So pretty cool, I think. So, Emily, you get to be a first. Are you okay with that?
I'm very okay with that.
That's so, Emily, cool. You have a story about back when you were like 13 years old. It's a Ouija board experience. Everybody knows those are near and dear to my heart. So I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to let you tell us what happened back when you were 13.
Okay, cool. So I was 13, was at my best friend's birthday party. There was probably like 15 or 20 of us, and somebody brought a Ouija board. And I was like, all right, cool. I'll try it out. Why not? So we're all down in her basement and we're asking a bunch of stupid questions like, who's going to die first? Who am I going to marry? Like, you know, typical 13-year-old questions. And we're not really getting anything on the Ouija board. So her basement was set up. You walk down the steps to the basement and there was like a couch and a little coffee table. And then on the other side of the basement was a pool table. And you know how the pool balls will collect down in the queue mm-hmm. once they get in the pockets. So it was like a bunch of these little teenagers sitting in her basement and we're not getting anything from the Ouija board. And all of a sudden, it's dead quiet. All of a sudden, the pool balls fly out from the queue thing and slam against the sliding glass door. And we all kind of just stared at each other in shock for a minute. And then, I don't know, 5 seconds later, like a delayed reaction, started screaming and hauling ass up the steps. Her mom thought the basement was on fire. Like, her mom was like, what is going on? So we told her what was happening and she was like, I told y'all not to mess with the Ouija board. That's what you get for messing with the Ouija board. So I haven't touched one since. I won't. My husband asks me, you know, joking around, like when we went to visit this same best friend down in New Orleans, hey, you want to get a Ouija board? Hell no. I don't want one in my house. Absolutely not.
So when the pool balls hit the sliding door, I mean, did it do any damage to the, because I would have thought a pool ball smacking the glass would have probably broke something or cracked it or something.
I don't think it did, but I can't really remember. And none of us were brave enough to go back downstairs to find out. But I don't think it did. I think it might have, you know, I don't know.
So what do you think caused that? Do you think it was a spirit that maybe was just restless that came through the board? Or do you think it just was something that just happened to be already in the house that maybe was aggravated because you're using the board or what?
I personally think, because I spent the night at her house all the time, and spending the night, I never slept well. I never slept well at her house. And so I personally think it was something that was there already and was kind of warning us, like, don't do this, because you little kids are going to be opening up something you have no idea what you're getting into. But I think it was something that was already there, because I, you know, like I said, I spent the night at her house all the time, and I never got a peaceful night's sleep.
So in reality, you think this might have actually been something trying to help you out?
Yeah, I do, because the Ouija board wasn't moving at all. Like the I don't know what the thing is called that goes over oracle. The letters. What is it?
Some people call it an oracle. Some people call it the planchette.
Okay, well, the oracle, it wasn't moving at all. So I think it was, you know, because we started asking it stupid questions first, and then it started getting into more serious questions like, do we have any spirits here with us tonight? Does anybody want to talk to us? And so when it started getting into more serious questions, that's when the pool balls flew into the sliding glass door. And so, yeah, I think it was something trying to tell us, like, don't do what you're doing.
Yeah, you don't know what you're getting into.
No, not at all.
So is that the only paranormal experience you've ever had?
No, I've had another one. I was at my grandparents' house, and they always had this, you know, lady in white ghost. <Of course. laughs> It's always that. And so their house was kind of interesting because it was it was built into the side of a hill, so the entire house was underground except for the I guess it was the western facing wall was mm-hmm. open, so you could get into the yard. So they had one of those living rooms where you could walk down into it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it was pretty interesting. And so everything else was like four steps above that. So I was spending the night at their house one time, and I saw her go from the hallway. Their house was one big hallway with all these rooms splitting off into it. So I watched her go from the hallway down into the living room and walk down those steps and kind of just stand there. And she didn't, like, if she knew I was there, she didn't let me know. Like, we never locked eyes or made contact. She kind of just went back up the other set of steps on the other side of the living room and just disappeared.
That's the situations where a lot of people will say that they think sometimes what you see may not be a ghost, but somebody just, you're looking into another dimension, and they wouldn't know you were there or see that you were there. Just like you wouldn't, you know, it's just you happen to catch a glimpse into another time period or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and she was dressed in like old timey kind of clothes. So, yeah, I mean, that's absolutely possible. You know, like, I'm just as non-existent to her as she is to me. So
it just makes you think that maybe, you know, because it seems like when you see little clips like that, it's just like, God, what a boring afterlife this has to be. It's like constantly walking into the refrigerator to open it up and see that there's nothing different in there.
I know. Well, and like, God bless my grandparents, but because their house was under a hill, like, they dealt with moisture a lot. So like that's mildewy smell.
Oh yeah.
Like that, I do not want to be stuck in a place in the afterlife that stinks, like, at all.
Yeah, but the beauty is that the electric bill is usually a lot less in a house like that, because it stays cool all the time, even in the summertime, and it's not that bad in the wintertime. That's why a lot of people built those homes, was for the it's almost like living in a cave or something. You keep the year-round temperature. So
yeah, I mean, it was definitely pretty cool. It was definitely a pretty cool house. They had, like, there was a, you know, like I said, the hallway, but then they had like kind of like a, I guess, utility closet, but it was also another hallway that was parallel. But it ran all the way down, and it was like old dingy basement. Ugh, I hated going in there for anything. It was the floors were straight cement. There was no light to it. It was just very eerie.
Yeah. Ugh. I can see that being creepy.
Yeah. So
Well, Emily, thanks for coming on and sharing your stories with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And being our first video guinea pig.
I hope it went well.
It went. It did go well. I think everybody will enjoy it. Thank you so much, dear, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Tracy, as we've mentioned many times on the show, no to Ouija boards. Just say no, kids.
No.
Even though there are several people out there that claim they have no issues at all with Ouija boards, but for me, it's a no.
Yeah. I mean, why even chance it?
Right. Now, I did want to point out that several of the interviews that we've heard tonight, Emily being one of them, mm-hmm. we actually did video versions of these. And after this is released to you guys, obviously, to where you get to hear everything first, we're going to release some of these videos throughout the month in the group. And we'll put them in here, obviously, too. But we'll place them in the group, and it'll give people a chance to see some video versions of these things.
Fun.
Emily was the very first one we've ever recorded on video. Oh. Listen story in over 3 years of doing that.
Well, cool. You sure had a beautiful first guest.
Yes. So, with that being said, we have a second guest.
All right.
And I think what we'll do is we're going to go with James. And y'all know James Wallen from the mm-hmm. Yesteryear podcast. He's a veteran near and dear to our heart, obviously, and he has a really cool story about when he was in the military, being on board an aircraft carrier.
Nice. And experiencing something. Thank you for your service, honey.
Absolutely. All right, so let's listen to James's story.
Hey, guys, I got James Wallen on. He is host of the Yesteryear podcast that he actually does with his daughter, Beth. Fantastic show. If you haven't heard it, check it out. It's an awesome show. James, thanks for coming on.
Hey, no, man. Thanks for having me. It's awesome to be here. I can't wait.
So, James, you've been on the show before. You and your daughter were actually on a while back and telling us some cool stuff. And you were on our Halloween's episodes and stuff like that. So you've done a little bit of stuff with us. The podcast is still fairly new. I mean, anything within a year is fairly new.
Yes.
And how's it going? Is it progressing along? Are you happy with the way things are going?
We are under a year and we are almost at 16,000 downloads.
That's pretty awesome.
That is awesome. But we were at 2 when we did with you. If you remember, we were coming up on 2. We were that excited. So to be where we at, we're beyond ecstatic to have what we have. So yeah, and we thank you for that. So definitely.
Harder work than you thought it was going to be?
It is a lot of work. it's you come into it and you know, you're like, oh, it's gonna be fun. It is, but then you start that it becomes kind of like another job, which is okay.
Yeah.
Because it's a passion, so I'm good for that. But at the same time, it is a lot of extra stuff and then everything that goes into it behind the scenes. It's fun though. To listen to other podcasters talk and say, oh, I thought this, or oh, it's not all this, it's all that. And now I can relate, you know, and I hear mm-hmm. other shows, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm going through that. I'm trying to learn how to play the guitar right now. So all these things that just from a music lover that I thought I knew about the guitar, you hear something, you go, oh, man, that is, you know, that's incredible work. That's so hard. And it is. But then when you start playing, even now, some of the people that I thought were like gods, I realize that what they do isn't that hard for somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
So and it's like, man, you know, like I think Angus Young is like a god. And I used to hear people forever. Oh, he's overrated. And I still don't think he's overrated. But I understand more what they were saying, because it's like basically like three chords all the time. And then a lot of the stuff I could actually pick up and within an hour, you know, you could recognize it.
I would know what you're playing.
It's not good, but you can recognize. And I could see that if I really knew what I was doing a year down the road, I could probably master most of it. I'm like, okay, I guess I kind of understand what people are saying now.
Nice. I think that's what the whole thing with Green Day, when Green Day first came out, mm-hmm. they literally played in like three chords. Nobody cared. You know, it's great. The music's good if it hitches. So that's awesome, dude, that you're learning that. I think that's fantastic.
It's probably one of the hardest things I've ever tried to do in my life.
Wow.
and I've tried before years ago, like 20 years ago. And, you know, that was way before YouTube. You didn't have all the videos you could access. And right. I didn't have a trainer. I just basically had a book with tabs. I didn't realize what the hell I was looking at. And I think I learned how to play part of Jingle Bells. And that was about all it took. And I was done with it.
Nice.
And I just decided I was going to pick it up and try. I actually got a guitar for Christmas. It was my father-in-law's, who passed away a year and a half ago. And he was a well-known bluegrass musician. It's a very nice acoustic guitar. And I feel, you know, I expressed interest in wanting to play again. And they gave me one of his guitars. And I feel obligated to learn to play, if to get a gift like that from somebody who meant so much and knew was so talented with it, sure. I feel obligated to learn how to play it. So
sure, that's cool. That'd be a very cool way to appreciate it and everything.
Yeah, like that's really nice. A memoriam and an honor.
That's what I meant. Thank you.
okay, so I guess everybody's tired of hearing me babble about the guitar. We brought you on to talk paranormal.
Yes.
And you've got some experiences. We're going to start with one on a ship that you were, I guess, stationed on, we'll say.
Yeah.
So, first of all, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you.
And that's first and foremost. James, go ahead and take it away and tell us about your experience on the Enterprise.
All right. So I was on the CVN-65, which is the USS Enterprise. Chose that boat because of the Enterprise, because I'm a serious nerd. I graduated first in my class when I got into my rate of aviation boatswain mate. And I was like, they listed up all the choices that we could go to. And I saw Enterprise. I was like, well, yeah, of course. So I was on the Enterprise, and one of the jobs that we had was I was a cat. The catapult. You've ever seen Top Gun?
Yes.
I'm sure you have. You know, when they're hooking them up and launching them off, they hook the planes up. That's what I did.
Oh, well,
so I was literally up underneath the planes, hooking them up to the boat and, you know, bringing them forward and all that kind of stuff. I loved it. It was fantastic. The reason I got out was because I got hurt while serving and wasn't able to continue, but that's another story. Anyway, I saw a fight happen, just to give a little bit of background, and ended up catching some nasty watches that I had to do. One of the things that we had to do was do steam watch on the catapults. So the catapults have a amount of steam. Everything's steam driven, everything like that for the steam driven catapults. And there's an amount of fluid that you would have to sit there and turn the whole gear on. And the pump would have to go back down and you turn it off and you keep your elongations and everything like that. And you'd have to walk a certain track on the ship. You'd have to go up the port side, go up over the bow of the ship, check the catapults and come back down the other side. Okay. That was the watch you had to do. And I had the midnight to four watch, or as we called it, the balls to four watch. And I was walking up. I was not in a good mood because I had already had this watch, and then because I got in trouble, I had to watch again. So I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I had it all week. So I'm walking up the port side and I see this down the hall. Now, have you ever been on a ship?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So there are these things, the way that the doors, you'd say, or passageways are cut into the bulkheads are through these like cylindrical type shapes. And it's not just a straight walk. There's these things, they actually call them knee knockers, because they're about that high off the ground that you have to step over about every 12 yards mm-hmm. on a carrier, at least. 12 yards seems far, you know, 3 yards, whatever. But you have to walk over them. So I'm walking and it's nighttime, of course. So the ship is dark. And I look down and I see this guy come in from outside, and he just comes in and he's standing there. And I'm like, what's this yutz doing at this time? And you should not be out here coming from, you know, from outside the ship. What are you doing? I figured probably somebody's sneaking a cigarette because you're supposed to go to a certain place to smoke, but probably, you know, hiding down on the side of the ship. So I'm looking at him. And I'm thinking that maybe somebody else is going to come in behind him because he didn't dog the door back down. He didn't turn around and dog the door. So I'm like, okay. You know, I'm walking closer. Nobody's coming in behind him. He's still standing there. So I call out to him. I'm like, hey, you going to catch that door? You going to catch that? You know, of course, I said hatch. And he kind of looked over at me, but then kind of looked back. And I was like, all right, this guy's going to get me. I'm going to get mad. So I said, there's shipmate sounds like a good thing to call somebody. You're my shipmate. But it's actually kind of derogatory if you use it. So I was like, hey, shipmate, you going to catch that door, you know? And this guy just walks forward like he's going into, you know, I see him actually step up like he's going into another door across the P-way. Like, this guy did not, you know. And this whole time I'm walking forward to him. I said, I'm mad. Now I'm going to get somebody's goat because this guy's done got me. So I get there, and the first thing that I did was look to the left to dog the door down, and it was closed. I said, okay. I look to my right. There is no door. It's where there was a passageway, but it had been walled off. So there was nothing.
Oh man.
So I literally saw somebody come in from where and literally go into nothing. I mean, and this was a full body. I mean, straight up was there. I mean, I could see it, complete shadow. See, look at him, nothing.
So like when he came in and then when he left, you actually couldn't see the doorways from that point to see that there was a door closed at that way, right?
No, because the way that the bulkheads are and it's cut, it's like an oval inside. So there's wall. So I knew there would be a door to that side, and there should be a door to this side because he's facing that way. You think he's going to go that way, right? But I can't see it.
Yeah.
So all I could see is this guy's on the other side of the Nenok. And I could see where his differentiate in his legs, like if he was standing behind the Nenoker, I could see that. It was, man. And guys mess with you on the ship. I mean, like you send people for like buckets of steam or the key to the deck. Like, yeah, stupid stuff when you first get to the ship. And one of the things people would always talk about was, yeah, watch out for them ghosts on the port side. And I was always like, you know, whatever. Are you going to give me some whatever? Dude, I'm telling you what. It's one of the most – you always talk about people seeing – never really catching full-body apparition type stuff. That was head-on one of the first – and I mean, I believe straight up. I mean, I saw it. And that's that right there was like – I don't know if it's one of those play-through-time type deals.
Right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying? Or what, but this guy literally, I mean, it was like he acknowledged me. It was like he looked over at me and then stepped into the next. And then when I got up to that, I was so hot-headed. I was so hard charging, man. I was coming at him, and I looked over there to get that door because I'm like, nobody's going to bust me for this thing not being dogged down on my watch. So I was like, and I turned to go to that door. It was to the right. No door, nothing.
So the question is, did you tell anybody about this or did you just keep it yourself?
I've told family I've told you. I've never told anybody in the military. I'm sure there's probably on the Enterprise, they're probably like, yeah, it's kind of like people who have experiences and then they're like, yeah, I'm not going to tell anybody. Like I would imagine like police officers or somebody else. No, I'm not telling somebody else. They're going to think I'm crazy. No, I did not tell anybody that was on the ship about that. But I was always like, from then on, when people were, you know, having that watch, I'm like, yeah, good luck on that one.
Was you a paranormal believer and up until this point, or was this something you were skeptical of?
I was a believer that it existed, but I can't say that I was somebody who had a full on experience myself of that magnitude. I mean, you always have the, oh, you know, when I was a kid, this and no, that, but I mean, I had never had to where I'm in a face to face. This is happening with me. This is real. And it's so sad because they should have turned that ship into a museum, in my opinion. They decommed it and they completely scrapped it out.
No, that sucks.
So, yeah, I wish they would have put it next to the Intrepid, but yeah.
Well, that obviously was your first main experience, but it wasn't your only experience because you've had one since then. Tell me about the other one with the plantation.
So now with the Ferry Plantation down in Virginia Beach, my wife and I started getting into doing kind of very, very low key ghost hunting, you say, type stuff. We wanted to get into that, got some gear, got some this, got some that. For her anniversary one year, I actually rented the overnight. It was like $250. And it's what she really wanted to do. So I was like, all right, fine. You know, she's not a jewelry person. She's not, you give the women you love what they want. This is what she wanted.
Right.
So I saved up and I rented it overnight. So it was just us two for the Ferry Plantation all night long. And we went in there, we caught some crazy stuff, Jerry. I mean, I've got EVPs, I've got stuff moving, I've got light stuff, all kinds of stuff. But we had been there probably about an hour, and we were upstairs, and we're listening. We're trying to, you know, do conversation type stuff with the EVP. And there's a conversation going on that sounds like it's right at the bottom of the stairs with a guy and a woman. And all you hear is, and I'm just like, I could have sworn these people said that they were going to be quiet. You know, that's the whole reason why we're here. So, you know, we're going on, and we had heard some other stuff and like some really good catch, like where you can almost hear like whispering in your ear. I'm not kidding. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. Can that conversation end? So I finally was like, I told my wife, Kathy, I said, look, I'm going to go down and I'm going to say something because this is just getting ridiculous. So I go down the stairs quietly and I don't see anybody there. And I'm like, okay. So I walk back around the corner, walk back around another corner, finally make it back to the kitchen where these two ladies are sitting. And they're like, are you wanting to come in here? And I'm like, no. What we want to do is we wanted to request that you guys quiet down a bit. Whoever that guy is ridiculously loud. And they just start laughing. And they're like, there's no guy here. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, there's no guy here. You're just hearing the spirits, buddy. And I was like, oh. So I thought that was really cool. And you can actually kind of hear it on the, you can hear this background conversation that's going on. And if, you know, of course it's really easy for me to say that and not whatever, but yeah, it was sure as anything going on back there. It was so loud, and he was getting like, you could hear energy in his voice where he was getting like upset about something. It was really cool. And that place, has a really rich history. It's just some really cool stuff has happened there. And it's a, you know, we had gone there, Virginia Beach. I don't know if you've ever been to the area, but Hampton Roads in general has all kinds of course, rich history and sites that you can go and visit. And just for the history alone, you know, you're always talking about loving the history and stuff. The history alone on that place is awesome. Then the hauntings that go along with this stuff just like escalated up there. But yeah, that was our first one. And I love to hear people always talking about doing, going in on ghost hunting, of how it's, I mean, we were there, geez, from 10 o'clock until 4 in the morning, and probably got about 30 minutes full of real anything that you could actually be, which is a lot.
That's a lot for that time period. Yeah.
But yeah, it was a lot of sitting and feeling kind of silly sometimes when you're just talking to yourself. So,
and then sometimes you don't even realize you got stuff until, you know, weeks later when you're analyzing the stuff.
Yep. I got my digital recorder, and that was the other side of it, having to sit there and just listen back through and listen and listen and listen, and then see, you know, where there's noise, and really tuning in and trying to be like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. And we had these two light things, which, I mean, everybody's a skeptic with whatever, but I mean, I jumped around them and did all of this kind of stuff, and they wouldn't go off unless there was actual motion in front of them or, you know, whatever. And sure as anything, we had them across the room, and we were asking certain questions, do this with the light, whatever, and the thing would come on. And it was pretty cool. We had a really good time with it. So, but those are my two best stories, I'd say. One you got out of me that I haven't told anybody, and the other one I've told.
That's awesome. You know, it's funny when you talk about the ghost having conversations but not be able to make it out. That's a really common theme. And even in situations to where, you know, there are like some of these old Las Vegas hotels and stuff, there are spirits where they say you can hear two people arguing in the elevator. You get that a lot in the Cincinnati Music House.
Oh, yeah.
And in one of the elevators, you can hear a man and a woman arguing, but you can't really make out what they're saying, but you could tell it's an argument because, like you said, you can hear you could feel the energy and stuff come through that somebody's frustrated. You know, when I grew up in a haunted house, we would hear conversations, but we couldn't make it. We could make out it was female and males, but you couldn't make out what they were saying. So I don't know if they just don't have the ability to articulate in the afterlife. You know, some, you hear cases where people were really clear, like the Bell Witch, where it was, you know, singing and stuff, and then everything you could hear no problem. But there's so many cases where it's just like it's you know, warbled or whatever the case is, that you just can't hear what they're saying. So I don't know.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I'll say that if you ever, you know, when you guys go on your trips, Hampton Roads area, where you can go to like the battlefields and you can still hear the fire, the musket fire and stuff like that going off and such. I mean, you hear it. It's not fake. It's going off.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
And it's just like, that's crazy. It's crazy to me that I can hear this going on and these battlefields and stuff. It's really cool. It's a really good area. Of course, I live in Roanoke now, but
yeah. We're planning on going out that way next year. I've always said we're going to go to Colonial Williamsburg, and I've got a friend that lives in Suffolk, and you know, he's not too far from the Virginia Beach area. And so we're probably going to head out that way. But yeah, I love all that stuff. And so, yeah, Colonial Williamsburg's on my list to do probably next year. And if we're going to be out that way, we'll probably hit a couple of places. And like I said, I might even check into Ferry Plantation to see if it's something that, you know, we might be able to do out there or something. So yeah, it's definitely on my list.
Very cool. Very cool. So,
James, thanks for coming on, buddy. Tell everybody how they can find Yesteryear Podcast.
The best way to do it is to just hit up our website, theyesteryearpodcast.com. It's got all of our links. And I mean, we're on, of course, all the podcatchers and all that jazz. But yeah, if you want to find out about us, who we are and what we do, theyesteryearpodcast.com.
All right, buddy. It was good having you on again.
Hey, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Not a problem.
I think it's so funny that you have all these paranormal investigators, and we'll hear from one later that in 20 years of doing this has never come across a full body apparition. And then just the average person working their job can see one. It's just so funny.
It is. It's so wild.
So could you imagine going through all that and you got somebody you basically just feel like is ignoring you, and then you kind of find out that there probably was nobody there. And then, like I said, he said he didn't really tell anybody.
He told
his family members and stuff, you know, down the road, but he didn't tell anybody in the military what he had seen. But like you said, when he started telling other people that had that position, you know, people knew.
Yeah.
They just knew. So.
Wow. Very interesting.
I thought it was.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
All right. Let's roll along here to Kelly, because Kelly's from up in the Minnesota area, and she's got some cool stories for us.
Sounds great.
All right, guys. We have a visitor from the north. We'll say the Minnesota North Stars. I guess that's where that came from. Even though they haven't existed any forever. That shows my years. But... Kelly's from up in Minnesota, and she's got a couple of stories. I know she's posted in the group before about some of the situations, but not everybody sees those things. And there's more people listening to this than probably will see it in the group. So first of all, Kelly, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jerry. I'm so excited to be here tonight.
Well, we're excited to have you. And before you ask, no, Tracy's not here. It's like, I feel like chopped liver. Every time we do these things, it's like, oh, where's Tracy? Well, she's never here, so I do almost all these by myself. But anyway, let's start with, you've got some stories that deal with your grandparents. So let's start with those first.
So when I was younger, my grandpa had passed away when I was 8. My grandma about when I was 18. And so after my grandpa passed, like, we would go down to Iowa to see my grandma. She lived in like older house, kind of creepy. You kind of got those weird feels of, I'm not going upstairs or downstairs by myself. And downstairs there was like a creepy cellar, so it was like you didn't know what was gonna come out. And I remember like myself, my brother, my cousins, we would refuse to like go upstairs by ourselves. Like we just, even at bedtime, you're not going to bed yet. That's fine. I'm staying up. You're up. Okay. We're up. We're not staying here. You just kind of got that feeling like someone was there, and I didn't realize until later on, like what it was. So the one weekend we were down visiting my grandma and we were in this living room and I was sitting facing the TV, and then to my left was the entrance to the kitchen. And at that point I had glasses, so my peripheral, I could not see anything out of it. And my grandpa was standing there, like just showed himself to me. And I'm like, oh God. And I return and he'd be gone. So he did this to me a couple times. I'm just like, okay, that's really weird. You know, I was probably 10, 12. So I finally got the courage up to tell my mom later on. Like, you've been watching too many of those haunted shows. And I'm like, but I swear he was there. And I felt like this is the reason why everyone was like, something felt off in the house, even though it wasn't anything bad. It was just my grandpa watching over my grandma. Well, fast forward to 2005, my grandma passed away. And my mom's down in Iowa in the house. I wasn't there. And she calls me and she's like, so I just saw grandpa standing in the same exact spot you told me about. I was like, see, I'm not crazy. There is something going on here. He was there the whole time. But it was just kind of a comforting feeling knowing like he never truly left, because he did pass away in the house. Right. So it's just more comforting. Like once I was older, I realized, oh, this is what it was. Like, I'm not just crazy.
So do you wonder why he showed himself to you back then, but not to your mother?
I probably, because I believed in that type of stuff. And, you know, we figure that was probably like the 1990s. So paranormal at that point was still, it was up and coming. It was like, was it ABC Family had Scariest Places on Earth? Like those were the shows out at that time. So I think it was such like an unheard of thing that people didn't talk about the paranormal or talk about loved ones visiting them, that type of thing. I think that's where she was just like, no, you're just watching too many of these shows.
So was she not a believer at all until she had her experience?
Correct. And she's also had experiences with my grandma calling out her name in the house, in my family house. So she's definitely she's turned to the believer side. Yes.
Now you've had some situations with something sitting in the car seat next to you. Tell me about some of those.
Yeah. So this is where I'm like, it might sound a little weird. So this is pre my post at Christmas. I used to have a Pontiac Grand Prix. You know, Minnesota, it was during the winter. This would usually happen. I'd be driving, I'd get in my car and my seatbelt fastened, passenger light would go off. I'm like, there's nobody there. I take everything off my seat. I'd have my purse. I'm like, that doesn't weigh enough to set this alert off.
You've never seen Tracy's purse.
Well, I carry around a tote, my stepdaughters call it my luggage. So there's, we may be in competition here. So it would just randomly go off. And I'm like, this is just weird. And then, you know, that popped in my head. I'm like, maybe it's my grandparents. Like, this is maybe how they're giving me a sign. Wasn't quite sure. And I remember one time I was driving down the highway, like been in my car 10, 15 minutes, not thinking, because I was getting ready to go to a different car. And I was like, oh man, that, you know, I'm going to miss this. Cause like, I feel like this is how my grandparents were connecting with me. And middle of the highway, my passenger seatbelt light goes off. I was scared shitless because I'm like, how does that happen? Like, never happened anytime before that, anytime after. It was just that one time. And I'm like, I just feel like that was too much of a coincidence to happen.
Right.
So I felt like that was kind of their way of like, no, we're still here. We're still with you, type of thing. And that's kind of goes into what happened right before Christmas with my car. You know, I have the sensors on the side. So if somebody's next to me, it lights up. And I was driving home and it just wouldn't go off. There was nobody by me. And so I was just like, okay. So once again, that thought pops into my head. Grandma, grandpa, is that you? Like, if it's you, turn the light off, light would go off. I'm like, okay, probably coincidence. So let's try this a couple more times. And I would be like, okay, if you're with me, and because it's right before Christmas, I'm like, if you're with me, please let me know. Light would go back on and stay on. I'm like, okay. I did it a couple times. I don't feel like it was coincidence at that point. And I've also lost two of my aunts. And I was like, you know, Jeannie and Janie are with you. Please make it known. They did. And I'm like, by the time I got home, I went upstairs and I just cried in my husband's arms. I'm like, it was such a great thing because I know that they're together. I know that they're safe. And it was just a nice thing after how 2020 had been to just know that they're still with me. But yeah, I told my mom that a couple days later and she was tearing up. I'm like, they're okay. They're together. Those are the stories that I love, you know, to hear from other people as well. It's like, you know, your loved one's still with you. Like, they will communicate. One of my girlfriends, the same thing. Do I have time to tell that story?
You got time to tell whatever you want. We have no time limits.
So one of my good friends from college. So unfortunately, her dad passed away last March. It wasn't from COVID. It had started before the whole outbreak. And so they live in like a little out in the they live outside of the cities. And so the one day her mom and her sister and brother-in-law were in the house, and all of a sudden they heard his truck start in the garage. And, you know, Clarence was like, so did somebody go start his car? Like, his keys were hanging up in the house. They went out, they looked, the car was started and the other keys were sitting in the cup holder. And it was one that you need to put the key in the ignition. They have no idea how it started. And she told me that, I'm like, oh my God, your dad's still around. He was just letting you know. And like, this dude was in the army and he was scared. Like, this is not okay. So we always try to exchange stories. And, you know, when you see a cardinal, yeah, that's your dad. And
that's what Tracy and her sisters are a big believer, that if you see a cardinal, it's probably a loved one. I know Tracy had a situation where she was driving. It was her and Kristen were driving down the street, I guess about a week or 2 weeks ago. And it was down this back road coming back from her dad's house. And as she turned a corner on this little back road, this cardinal just ran right in front of the car, flew right in front of the car, right in front of the windshield. And they both just looked at each other and felt like that was, you know, a sign.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. I absolutely agree with Tracy on that one. I will always be like, no, if cardinal's there and it's just a really weird situation and how you're running into him, I definitely believe it's it. Our loved ones coming to be
I'll have to send you a picture when I get off here that I snagged for her the other day, that all these cardinals sitting on a fence post, but they're different colors, you know, like the browner males or females rather. And then I can't remember which one is it the red ones or the males or the females, but one of them's red. And then the other ones are like kind of a brownish color, but they're sitting on a fence alternated. And it's like a really cool picture. Yeah.
Please do send that to me. That'd be awesome to see.
Now, you said something about, while we're on the subject of animals, about having a creepy dog story. And I'm all about some creepy dog stories.
Oh, man, this one. So we had some family friends and they were going out of town for the weekend. They're like, hey, can you come over and dog sit? I'm like, sure. Easy money. No. I'm pretty sure that first night I called my mom almost in tears, like saying, if you come over here, I will give you all the money. Like, I can't do this. So to kind of set the house, it's a rambler. So you can go in like the basement, then you have a little living room, then stairs go upstairs, or the staircases go up. And when you go up there in the one room, there are like all those old style, like family pictures from, you know, early 1900s, just kind of creeped me out type of vibe. I'm like, okay, like that's cool. But and then on the other side of the basement, on the other side of the stairs, there was like they had different antique-y things. And I'm like, that's really cool. Not my thing. Definitely was not my thing. So at one point the first night, you know, I was in the bedroom at the end of the hall and the stairwell was right there. And the dog's just sitting out in the hallway and barking downstairs at nothing. So of course I'm like, animals know this stuff. And I did not, like, I legit called my mom. I'm like, you can have the money. This is it. So that was the first thing that happened. And then one of the other times is I was downstairs, everything was completely silent. I was letting the dog out and I heard like one of those old time music radio things start playing. And I'm like, yep, I'm out. Like, I did not go. I only went back there to let the dog out. I could not sleep there again. I'm like, there is something in this house. It's letting me know it's here and it does not like me here. Like, I can take the hint after the dog barking and the music playing. Like, I'm good.
Well, it sounds like you've definitely had a fair share of amount of experiences as life has went on.
Yeah, and I love it. You know, I have a girlfriend from college that's really into it, and we had an experience. We went to an all-women's Catholic college, and the dorm we were staying in had the nuns used to be in there. And so it converted to like offices, classrooms, and dorms. And the one night we were like trying to go around to see if it was haunted since it's been there since like 1900. And we go in the basement door and going through the hallway, we both just stop, look at each other. We're like, did you see that black mass just go behind us? We're like, yep. Ran up so quickly to the to our dorm. And like, our other roommate's like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm pretty sure we just saw none and I am not. It was crazy. It was just one of those things of like, okay, we really did just see something. Like, this is crazy. But yeah, she's got me into it. And I love when you can share those stories with people.
Well, Kelly, I appreciate you coming on with us and sharing some stories with us.
Yes, of course. Anytime, Jerry, I appreciate it.
Well, it's been fun. And like I said, we will definitely have to do that again, because I'm sure you probably have some more stories.
yep, I do.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. So much.
Bye.
So see, I know you feel the same way as I do. I think it would be nice to be able to physically see members of your family that have passed on.
Oh my gosh, I would love it so much. I would.
And then, but what do you think about, I mean, this is the common story of you tell your parents, hey, I saw this, and they're like, no, you didn't. And then years later, you get, you know, justified that, you know, they did see that because her mom saw the exact same thing.
Yeah. I actually went through that with my parents and would say that I had seen my grandma Chipman. And at first they would say, no, I was just, you know, your imagination, until they woke up in the middle of the night and grandma was standing at the foot of their bed. So
there, take that.
Yeah.
Redemption.
In your face. Yeah, but you know, so they believed and stuff after that. So that's kind of cool.
All right, we're going to finish tonight off with the Alex and Chris from Paranormal Kicks Cancer and Proof down in Florida. A couple of cool stories here.
Great.
All right, we have some returning guests. We have Alex Wilkinson and Chris Goskowski, and they are obviously are our partners up with Paranormal Kicks Cancer, which we're excited to be a part of. Also members of Proof from down in Florida. Guys, welcome to the show. As Tracy just walks around in the background like she's not part of it.
Thank you for having us again.
Hi, thank you.
So you guys, I had reached out the other day and said, hey, I need some people to come on and tell me some paranormal stories. And you guys said, hey, we got some, which would make sense, you know, since you're paranormal investigators and all, I would think you probably have a few stories. So I'm not going to waste a lot of time on jabbering. I'm just going to turn it over to you guys and have you tell us a few stories that you got.
Okay. Well, we're going, honey.
Go.
Okay, fine. one of my funny stories that I love to tell actually is involved in a paranormal location, but it's not necessarily paranormal.
Is it that blue story?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. Go ahead.
So Chris and I, over the summer, Chris and I volunteered and have been renovating the old Hamilton County Jail in Jasper, Florida. We spent about in total 9 days there together, ripping down walls, tearing down ceilings, unearthing 100-year-old windows. So really,
archways.
Really, the entire summer and the fall, we were there just volunteering our time, and it was awesome. So everything that you see there now is Chris and I's handiwork, which we're really proud of. So we're there, and we are Chris and I had spent all night long tearing down the walls and by hand, and it was like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, and Chris had worked all night. I catched a couple Z's before that, and then Chris wanted to catch a couple more.
I wanted to go to sleep finally.
Yeah, it was like 7 o'clock in the morning, so I was like, no problem. So I have my cell phone, and I'm FaceTiming with my sister and my 4-year-old nephew, and I'm showing her the jail. And Chris is asleep. I'm all by myself in a haunted jail. So cool, no problem. Do it all the time, right? So I'm up on the very top level, walking kind of in the very back corner, and there was a giant pile of human feces. And I was like, okay. And I got scared because I don't know if there was somebody living up there. I mean, there was toilets, of course, it's a jail. So, and it's, you know, so I was like, okay,
but
like,
we
and
it
seemed very
night.
Fresh. And I was I was like, holy moly. So I go running downstairs. I wake Chris up. I'm like shaking him like this. And I'm like, Chris, you got to wake up. There's poop upstairs. And Chris, like, I was speaking another language. He was like, what? And I was like, Chris, you got to grab your gun. There's poop upstairs. And he couldn't understand. And so anyway,
because I was half asleep.
We eventually got him to get up, go upstairs. It was human poop. It turns out someone did actually come in. It was a teenager that was playing a prank and ended up barring every, because I was freaked out at that point because we were spending the night there.
So I got no sleep.
Yeah.
But maybe the 20 minutes that I laid down. And then when she saw that, we woke up I got out of bed, we got dressed, and I went to the local hardware store, which is a couple blocks away. We got nice big round bars, and we barricaded all the doors from the inside so no one can go outside in. So, and then of course,
yeah.
So now, because prior to that, what got us started with the jail is a bunch of kids broke in and vandalized the place.
Hmm.
And I've been
history.
What is it? What do I call it? Pre-Alex? What
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, before Alex.
Before B-A. Before Alex. I was going there way before then to help out with the jail and starting to do renovations and stuff. And kids were breaking in, and then I got to be really good friends with the owners. So I would constantly go up, do some work for her, and then, you know, of course, be able to investigate and stuff. And then we got that close relationship, so now we can go whenever we want, and she basically lets us do whatever we want. And then any other teams that want to join in and help, the more help we have, the better.
But yeah, the, you more know, the merrier.
But it's just, we've been doing a lot of work to it, so I just went, we spent our own money, bought the stuff, fixed it, she was happy, and then now no one can go in and vandalize the place anymore because every door is barred, including the old locks that still do work.
Yeah.
So that was just a cool little story.
It's a funny story just because it involves human poop. And when does paranormal ever involve human poop? Very rarely.
This is true. This is true. Unless it's like a ghost of a monkey or something.
Yeah. You just got to dodge that. If it's a monkey.
Chris has the fun paranormal stories.
What do you mean fun paranormal stories?
The cool ones. You should tell them the one about the
I have
the chair.
Has any of your listeners, if they've ever heard of the House of Wills in Cleveland, Ohio? It's a 50-room funeral home. What's his name? Eric. I can't remember his last name. But anyway, he owns it. I went up there. It was me and three other people in this funeral home the whole night by ourselves. Eric Friedman, that's his name. He owns the House of Wills. So there was four of us in there. When we got there, it's funny because the Ghost Brothers did their final, their season finale episode at the House of Wills. They had just left and we showed up. We missed them by like 3 dates. So it was kind of cool. But he went ahead and he changed the locks and he handed us new keys, but he did it that day and he never checked the keys to the door. So he gave us the keys. He said, have fun, enjoy the night. He already left. We're like, okay, everything's in. Let's set up home base. We go to lock the door. The key doesn't work. And where the House of Wales is, it's a pretty scary area down in Cleveland. So it's like, what are we going to do? We can't lock the door. So my friend Marie and Earl, ESP is their team. We looked at each other. What are we going to do? Because we can't lock the doors. How can we go investigate with a door wide open in this kind of part of town? So we looked around and we just found a rope. So we tied the rope to the door, pulled it as tight as we could so no one can pull the door from the outside. And then we looked around and we're like, now what else can we use? And there was this big monkey wrench. So we hung the wrench on the door because it was a flat handle. And we figured if anyone pulled on the door, we'd hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So we set it all up. We didn't think nothing of it. We went to go investigate. And probably three and a half hours into it, all of a sudden we all hear this big crash. And at the same moment, Earl looks at me. I look at Earl and we go, wrench. We're like, great. Someone's pulling on the door. Now what? And people in the paranormal that know that do residentials, you know, and depending on where you go and whatever, you know, I'm a firm believer of carrying a firearm. So I'm always armed no matter where I go. It's usually two or three I bring with me, but I just had one on me. As soon as me and Earl looked at each other, we go wrench. We grab the girls. The girls got behind us. I pulled out my 45. We go to the door. And all of a sudden, we look at each other because we looked at the door, and all of a sudden, the door's locked. And we're like, this is some paranormal crap going on, because that door was unlocked, and we didn't know what to do, and I got my 45 out, like, I'm about to shoot somebody. And then all of a sudden, I go, hush, hush, and then we hear footsteps by the door. And we're like, what in the heck? So we're banging on the door because we can't get out. And then all of a sudden we hear the footsteps getting closer and then the door opens. Eric had sent his friend in the middle of the night to make sure we were okay. And because the door was open, he figured that we were already gone and he tried to lock us in and was going to leave.
Yeah, I think you need to understand the gravity of the situation. I wasn't there, but the simple fact was is that they were locked in the House of Wales. And they could, and for a moment there, they could not, they were locked in.
We couldn't leave even if we wanted
like to. That is like what Grave Encounters is. You know what I mean? Exactly. That's what the horror movies, you know, start with. Could you imagine like knowing that you can't get out of there and hoping that someone's going to come save you?
But so that was actually kind of, it was scary at the, but then once you start laughing about it, cause you're like, what the heck? Another one, you know, everyone talks about their holy grail in the paranormal. I've been doing it so long. I'm jealous at most people because they're like, I've seen a full body apparition. And I'm like, that's awesome. But I've been doing it over 20 years and have yet to see one. So I still have yet to see one. Unfortunately, I'm sure there'll be a time where I will. I've seen a partial, but I've never seen a full body apparition. So my holy grail actually is I was at a undisclosed location. It's actually an Air Force base. Our team's the only team that's been allowed on this Air Force base, and we're the only ones they will call. Some other teams in the area are jealous because for some reason they won't let anyone else in but us, which is kind of cool. But so we were at the Air Force base, and we're doing an EVP session in one of the old conference rooms. There's like six of us in the room. And one of my members, I was sitting on the left side of the table. There was two chairs next to me that were empty. And then in next to that, the third chair was one of my team members. And he's jumped up out of nowhere. And he's like, something just touched me. We're like, okay, cool. So we're documenting. And then all of a sudden, while he was talking, I'm like, I feel something to the left of me. I definitely feel something to the left of me. And it's constant. We're asking questions. We're getting responses. But the whole time I'm like, something is to the left of me. So it went on for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden it got total silence. We weren't getting any activity, but I still sensed something was to the left of me. So everyone in the group went to the next room and I'm like, you guys go ahead. I'm going to review this evidence because I know something was there. So I'm reviewing the evidence. I go back, I look, all of a sudden I go back, I look again. I had to look four times. And then like the fifth time I jumped up and down, and I go, yes, yes. And they all come running back. Like, are you okay? What happened? And I'm like, you need to see this. So as they're watching the footage, all of a sudden, two spots next to me, while we're talking and doing an EVP session, the chair next to me actually slid out once, slid out twice, like something was sitting down in between me and my teammate that said something touched him. So that to me is my holy grail. We got it on video, the chair sliding out like something was sitting in it. And we went back to debunk it. Even the tallest guy in the room, Ben, my psychic, he laid down and he could not reach the chair. So no one could touch the chair with his foot. You know, there's even an angle on it from the door where you can see there's no string attached. No matter what you do in this field and you put out there online, someone's going to always criticize it.
And also keep in mind that this was at a protected Air Force base. So there wasn't any, there could be no pre-prep, you know, they were extremely locked and the military doesn't, you know, isn't going to be like, yeah, let's bake something. You know what I mean? I think that that validates it even more, which is.
But I mean, anyone looking at it can be, oh, they pulled a string or they did this. And that's what we deal with in the paranormal field on a daily basis. Yeah. If you're not physically there and you don't see it, there's always that question in someone's mind. But to get it on film and to know none of us touched this chair and to see it, that's like my holy grail so far, which was really, really awesome. So, I mean, that's just, it was really cool to have happen. The whole team was like, yes, 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 no way, you know, all freaked out. That made the whole investigation worthwhile to get some kind of evidence.
Alex, is he wired like this all the time?
Yes. When he starts,
you can't stop me once
when
I get
he starts going. Talking about paranormal, he's extremely passionate. You know, can't slow him down. He's gotten a little better, but you know, I don't. You know, I. You know, it's what I. You know, fell in love with, especially when I met him. Was the you know, because I met him at one of his events. So, you know, he's very passionate about it. That's a good thing.
Guys, it's been a blast having you on, and I want to make sure everybody knows that these guys are from Proof. That's the organization they work out of. Also with Paranormal Kicks Cancer, and that's the charity that they're highly involved with. A lot of events that go towards that. Tracy and I have partnered up with them to try to help raise money. You can find out more just by going to our website, hillbillyhorrorstories.com, right on the front page. We've got a link and you can click. It takes you right to it, tell you everything about the charity and give you a chance to donate if you'd like to.
Awesome.
So thank you guys. And I'm sure we will hook up with y'all guys in the future.
Awesome. Definitely. Thank you.
Thank you for having us on.
I'll be wired then too.
I'm sure you will. Well, Tracy, I bet when we sat down to do these, you didn't know we were going to end the show talking about haunted poop. You know, we've asked for a lot of stories in the last 3 years, and not one has ever brought up poop.
I am so excited that she did. I mean, sometimes you just gotta, you know, change it up a little bit. You know, ghosts have to poop too.
They do. Yeah, I thought that was funny.
That was a great story.
That was a great story.
It sure was.
And Chris's story was good too, you know, with the chair moving and getting some good evidence and all that. I'd like to check that evidence out, so I'll have to get him to show it to us sometime. I was talking to them after we recorded, and that jail that they renovated when we go to Florida, because they live down in Florida, mm-hmm. and they said that was right on the Georgia-Florida line.
Oh, cool.
And they said when we come back through, we have to pass right by where that jail is. They're going to try to set something up to show us that jail.
Oh, man.
And stop by on the way home from St. Augustine.
Hope there's some poop there. One can only dream.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Sorry that Tracy's got such a potty mouth. But thank you guys so much for listening, and we hope you had fun with this one.
Yeah. Love y'all so much.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.